I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? And we're presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, January 22nd, 2020. I'm John-Paul Flame, joined this morning by Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, everybody.
And Jason Bishop.
Yeah, what's up?
Running the three-man show once again.
Three-man weave.
Cakes and I are just dodging the sickness because you were out with the flu. Eric sent the text yesterday that he was covered by 10 blankets, which is not altogether surprising.
I think that's a normal day for right. him. Just any other day in January.
But he added that he wasn't feeling good.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out sick.
Am I getting blamed for it, for showing up on Friday? Did I give it to him, Drabby? Am I getting blamed here?
No, I think he's had a sickness for basically 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, well, if he's got what I had, he's going to be out for a couple days.
He's been some form of sick, right, for a couple months, Cakes?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, but he took a turn for the worse.
Yeah, he's got something new, clearly.
Yeah, it's different.
He added on a new layer.
Yeah.
Well, he said he was freezing because I was going through that. I had the chills, you know, and I had the body aches.
He's probably got some sort of strain of the flu, too. He might have a touch of it. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Thank God I got a flu shot. That was
I got a flu shot, too.
He did, too.
Yeah, I think he did.
Doesn't knock out every strain.
It doesn't kill everything.
Yeah, I guess if you have a weakened immune system, you're susceptible.
Just because
immune system is
hurt. Are you telling me that the people who get flu shots are 100%?
No, of course not. You're not covered from every strain
no,
of the flu.
No, but Cakes is nailing it. Eric's immune system has always been bad.
He has a compromised immune system.
Going on a spring break trip when we were 21 years old.
Right.
My brother was at the University of Miami. We went with our boy Stumper. We went to Miami for 2 nights. Maybe it was 3 nights. Mm-hmm. EB didn't go out with us 1 night because he said he felt a cold coming on.
Right. Yeah. He had to prepare himself.
We were in Miami.
By the way, in Miami today, the wind chill, 38 degrees.
Really?
Yeah, I saw it's cold in Florida and that iguanas are dropping.
They just drop right out of the trees.
That's sad.
It's dropped.
That kind of sucks.
It'd be kind of scary, too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. 38 degrees in Miami.
You'd be salty if an iguana just dropped on your head.
Oh, I'd definitely be scared.
Can you imagine if you took your kids to Disney World and it was 38?
It's not what you're expecting.
Oh,
what about all the poor caps like Jacob Verano who went to South Florida for some R&R during the All-Star break?
Is that where he is now?
I think he was there at least a day or two ago.
All right, well.
He's going to be he's jelly.
Got his coat and scarf.
You know what? He's from the Czech Republic.
He's used to it.
He'll be okay.
And
hello, he skates on ice every day of his life.
It's just a bad beat.
Yeah,
just
bad beat.
Unlucky, much like Jason was in the Bahamas.
That's right. It was the worst weather I've ever seen. Mm. Drabby, when did Bickle start getting sick? Was it yesterday afternoon?
2016?
I hadn't heard. Yeah. I hadn't heard anything from him until last night when he texted all of us.
What time?
Yeah, I didn't 1970 when he was
7:30.
Born.
7:30.
He texted at 7:30?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't even
I saw
the
text.
My phone was on at 7:30. I didn't see it.
And you were just not paying very close attention to your text,
well,
then.
I was watching the Terps try to lose
7:30.
To the worst. Watching the Terps try and lose to the worst team in the Big Ten.
Right.
Here's the text. I'm sick, freezing my ass off with about 10 blankets on. Yeah. I don't know WTF this is. But if I'm like this in the morning, I don't want to get anyone sick. This is ridiculous, though. I'm already on antibiotics.
Wow. By the way, I do not welch on my bets, so here is the $10 that I owe you for.
Well, I thought you were going to double it up on a Super Bowl bet.
If I do that, I'll get back to you.
Thank you.
I'll let you know.
Yeah,
I'll book anything.
I know you will.
You mentioned the Terps, and they did end up beating Northwestern.
Yep.
They have a really tough time starting games, don't they?
Awful. And they can't shoot. They cannot shoot the three. They are ranked 275th out of 355 teams in D1 in shooting percentage from three. That is awful. In fact, their starters last night started the game 1 for 15 from the floor.
Well,
Not good. Do
you know the controversy with the starters that's going on?
I don't.
Turgeon has to deal with?
What, because Wiggins isn't starting?
No. Both Wiggins and Ayala both don't want to start.
Oh, well, Ayala starts.
I know, but both of them want to come off the bench. Right. And so both of them are going to Turgeon saying, you know.
Well, who else are you going
to
start?
Exactly. That's what Turgeon is saying. I mean, he goes, I don't know what else to do. One of you guys, idiots, has to start. And both of them are refusing.
He doesn't have anybody else. I mean, he doesn't have that many guys. He's got seven guys pretty much that he plays.
Can't get those twins back?
No, they're not coming back. They avoided disaster last night because that would have been the worst loss of the season. Easy. Because Northwestern is 1-7 in the conference. And Northwestern shot the lights out in the first half, and they came back down to earth in the second half. They got outscored by 25, but that would have been bad.
Yeah, they were getting bludgeoned in the first half. I didn't get to watch but bits and pieces, and I saw the halftime score, and I was like, well, this looks like a loser. So I'm impressed that they came back to win.
Yep, they did. That was a must-win for them. That was their first road win, I believe.
There are no dominant teams in college basketball unless you say Gonzaga.
Nah, no one's dominant. It's wide open. But I can't believe the worst prediction in the history of the Junkies was when I said that Terps would be ranked number one at some point this season.
They got close. They got to three.
Well, that's when I made the prediction. I asked Coach Turgeon, so when's the last time Maryland was ranked number one? And he said, I don't know. Then I found out from Chris Nockey they'd never been ranked number one.
Right.
I said, well, this is the year. Worst prediction ever.
Don't know.
They're not even close, but that's a game you have to win, and they finally came back and won by 11.
It's not worse than me predicting that Marcus Mariota would have like 35 total touchdowns like 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah. It's not even close to being that bad.
It was pretty bad, though.
But mine was a fair share of bad predictions.
Bold prediction.
Right.
Okay, you're supposed to go above and beyond with those, and that's what I did.
So Bickle's out sick.
And I just saw you dabbling with the 5-hour energy, and you had three bottles out. Now, you say you're consolidating. It's like, man, you're going for 15-hour energy?
No. I drink about half of one
every
morning, right around 6. Keeps me alive for 4 hours. But, so I consolidate when I get a new bottle. So that's what I was doing. This one's empty.
We may have to send Adam on a coffee run because the big surprise, the coffee machine in the break room is not operational.
We're on it. Bethesda Bagels is hooking us with a big old box.
Oh, that's huge.
That's amazing.
By the way, yesterday, I very rarely use the machines that are there in the break room. I use the vending machine, but that's it. And that's not even like a true vending machine. You just pick it up and scan it, right? But I never use the microwave, the toaster, all of those things, the coffee machine. And yesterday, I actually did use the toaster. I don't know when they got that toaster from. It's
1986.
It's really long, and when I put my Pop-Tart in there, it fell. I had to fish it out. I had to use two forks or whatever dug in there.
Sure, that doesn't sound very safe.
Probably it's plastic forks, right?
Yes.
Metal forks.
No,
you
no.
can't do that.
No, but that thing sucks.
Yeah. You're going to use David Falk's new revolutionary toaster that he emailed you about?
Super agent who sold his company once for $100 million and then started being an agent again.
Right.
And represents a lot of Georgetown clients that are in the NBA. Represented
Jeff
back
Green.
In the day all the top players in the NBA. You know, guys like Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing. He's in the kitchen appliance business.
Who knew? He's branching out.
Sent me a text about the Revolution toaster.
Good for him.
And then this is why he's a good agent, because 2 or 3 days after I received the email from him, I got a text, and he says, get off your butt and buy your toaster already.
Look at that.
You should.
It's at Williams and Sonoma.
That's probably an $85 toaster.
Oh, it's 85.
How much is that toaster?
I guarantee you it's a triple-digit toaster.
Is it? 150?
If it's at Williams and Sonoma and David Falk is hawking it, I'm going to put it on triple-dig.
Right. There's no chance I'd buy a triple-dig toaster.
Probably not.
That ain't happening.
You don't want to join the revolution?
Nope. I am not going to do that. Yeah, so last night I texted or I emailed Cahill. I said, if the Terps lose to Northwestern, you got to book Chris Nockey. we got to talk about this. There's something seriously wrong with this team on the road. But they do come back and win. So they hit 13 threes last night. The first half, they couldn't hit a three. Wiggins was actually pretty good. He was 5 for 9 from three off the bench, finished with 17. And then Jalen Smith, was that a career high?
Career high, 25 points.
It was? So he played well, especially in the second half. But, man, that would have been awful.
But those
at one
numbers,
point this year, Northwestern didn't even – I think they had like six scholarship players. They had a bunch of guys hurt.
Yeah, those numbers that you stated earlier, I wasn't aware of that. 275th?
Out of 355 from three.
That's pathetic.
They're shooting 31% from three-point range as a team.
That is brutal.
Now, last night they were near 40, so that was a really good game for them.
And I woke up this morning to see the highlights of the brawl between Kansas and Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
And we were watching that again this morning. So Kansas, one of the best teams in the country. I think they're number three.
Correct.
At the very end of the game, they're up by 20 points, basically. Mm-hmm. And they're just dribbling out the clock. And a guy from Kansas State wants to stat pad.
Yep.
And he steals the ball, goes down for what looks like a layup. But the guy who he stole the ball from is Rick.
Uh-huh.
And he just has a vicious blocked shot.
Yep.
Should be the end of the game, whatever, move on. And it just erupts into a brawl because Kansas State's bitter that the guy from Kansas blocked the shot. The guy from Kansas is bitter that he had the ball stolen from him when they should just be running out the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then it spills into the crowd a little bit. It didn't look like there were a ton of punches thrown, but there were some punches thrown.
Yeah,
it's just an embarrassment.
I'm not sure who the guy was who blocked the shot, but he started it because he stood over top of the Kansas State player and just taunted him.
Right. He taunted him.
Yeah. And then,
he did, but he also was bitter that the guy stole the ball and he's just trying to dribble out the clock.
Yeah, exactly. Well, don't let the guy steal the ball from you. It was just wild. And then D'Souza, you know, picks up a chair. He was going to hit somebody over the head with a chair. Like he's done in WWE.
Yeah, you can't do that. Last time I checked, that's against the rules.
No, he ended up dropping the chair. But
by the way, how's Kansas still playing? Didn't they have a bunch of NCAA violations?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know how that happens.
Is it just because they're Kansas and he's Bill Self?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't have enough evidence. I have no idea. Well, the D'Souza kid was out all of last year because of that. Drabby, did you see the video of that?
The fight?
The Kansas, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy,
it was
man.
Nuts, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're going to be in trouble the next, I don't know what their schedule is, but they're going to have some guys suspended.
They should, absolutely. D'Souza, number one. He's got to go.
Do they play Baylor coming up?
Florida's playing Baylor this week.
Maybe it's Florida.
I'm not sure if Kansas, I can look at their schedule.
All right, should mention on the program today, we started unveiling the Big 20 from NBC Sports Washington, the top 20 sports stories in the last 20 years in the region. We're going to do that again at 6:45. Alan May is going to join us coming up at 8:20. We'll talk to the Caps analyst about the second half of the season, what the Caps might need to look at with the trade deadline coming up. Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, he will join us at 9 o'clock. And Barry Sanders joins us at the end of the show at 9:40.
By the way, I'm going to make it awkward with Barry Sanders.
Oh, you're going to ask him to sign something?
I'm going to ask him to sign my Oklahoma State jersey. 1989 Oak State jersey. I'm going to ask him on the air to sign it.
I'm just going to do it.
That's fine.
Why not?
What else are you going to talk to Barry Sanders?
What's the worst he can say?
He'll probably say yes, and then you're just going to have to figure out how to get it done.
Well, yeah, I'll just send it to him or send it to his PR lady, whatever.
You got to ship it to him, then they ship it back.
I mean, how often do I get a chance to talk to Barry Sanders?
Once every 10 years, maybe. I feel like he's been on the show before.
Yeah, and I think I remember punching myself in the face after we had that interview because I wanted to ask him. I completely forgot.
Right.
Because I went home and saw my Oak State jersey. I said, why didn't I ask Barry Sanders to sign it?
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask him to sign it today.
Very nice. So he will join us coming up at 9:40, all right here on the Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Later in the program, I'm going to give you a chance to win some Monster Jam tickets. We'll play a little Junkie Shootout at 9:20. I know yesterday you mentioned Morgan Wooten being in hospice care. We found out last night that he did pass away.
Yeah, 88 years old. They told the family, the hospice care nurses or doctors told the family it could be a couple months, you know, six weeks to 2 months. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't that long. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the Wooten family, especially mine. I've known the Wooten family since I was 14. Very good friends with their sons, Brendan and Joe. Brendan lives up in New York, works on Wall Street. Joe, of course, is a high school basketball coach in the area at O'Connell. And the three sisters, the three daughters, Kathy, Carol, and Trish, found out last night, died around 10 o'clock. And of course, a Hall of Famer, inducted to the Naismith Hall of Fame in 2000, won 5 national titles, more than 1,200 games, 33 WCAC titles. And I played for him back in the late 80s, and very sad day. 88, it's a good run, but, he had some issues with bladder cancer and some infections, and, he was at home. That's where he wanted to be. I know full well what hospice care is like. My mother was in hospice care for about 19 days. Mm-hmm. And, they told me it's probably going to be longer. I said, okay, well, it doesn't look like it.
Yeah. Your hospice care is generally shorter than the window that they give you.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
So anyway, thoughts and prayers out to the Wooten family. And I hope to talk to Brendan or Joe later today.
One amazing thing about him is he could have been, had he chosen the University of Maryland basketball coach.
Was he ever offered? Was he ever
offered? I don't know if he was
that?
Ever officially offered.
I don't think he was ever offered.
I think
that
I heard
job.
Stories that that they
he maybe, was offered the NC they, State job.
Yeah, that he could have made a move like that, but he just always decided to stay with high school.
Yeah, I think he wanted the Maryland job.
Yeah, according to Wiki, apparently he received offers from NC State, Georgetown, AU, as well as interest from Duke, Wake Forest, and Virginia.
Yeah. I don't think he was ever officially offered this.
It's pretty amazing job. To look at his coaching career. It has one line on it, DeMatha, from 1956 to 2002.
Yep.
And his career record was 1274 against 192 losses.
I know. It's pretty good.
I mean, he's a legend. He's an icon.
He was a legend. Absolutely.
If you didn't go to DeMatha, if you've lived in this area, I mean, D.C., Maryland, Virginia.
You know who he is.
I mean, he's known nationally, obviously, but in this area, I mean, that name, I mean, it just carries legendary status.
100%.
Yep.
100%. Anyway, I found out this morning because, my phone was off and I was asleep at 10 o'clock last night, but I found out this morning. So thoughts and prayers from us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, one other thing I wanted to mention, non-sports related. We talked about that Netflix documentary, The 8th and H Crew, a few months ago. And Chris, who's one of the valets at the Homewood Suites,
right.
was one of the guys who was falsely convicted of a murder back in 1984 of a woman named Kathleen Fuller. Six kids were convicted of the murder, falsely accused and convicted. And Chris got out of jail, I don't know, a year ago, a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
not too long ago. Anyway, he started working at the Homewood Suites as a valet. And it's a riveting documentary if you get a chance to see it. We talked about it, but it kind of focused on a kid named Cliff Yarbrough, who was the youngest of the six.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a really low IQ, and he was coerced into confessing to this crime at the age of 16 because he really didn't know what he was confessing to. He just wanted to get out of there. Anyway, Cliff Yarbrough is also a valet at the Homewood Suites. He was working this morning.
Nice.
Really?
Did
not know that.
So Chris and Cliff both, he just got out of jail. He was in jail for 35 years.
Oh.
Got out 8 months ago.
Wow.
You parked your car this morning.
Okay.
Parked your car.
Yep.
Unbelievable story. And the documentary really focuses on his interrogation, if you get the chance to see it.
Right.
I could talk to those guys for hours.
No, I watched that one with my kids.
Yeah.
I watched that documentary with the kids, and then when we came to a Nats game and Chris parked my car, I was like, that's the guy from the movie.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that was
a documentary? No, I did not know that about Cliff. I just had a couple of small talk exchanges with him.
That really.
This morning, my exchange was, "Hey, I parked the car a little further down because there was a big, like, 18-wheeler uh-huh. backing up to pick up a dumpster,
right?
And so I didn't want to park my car where I usually do, which is in the sight line. So he didn't really see me because I drove past Homewood Suites to park.
Yeah.
So that was all of my exchange with him.
See, thankfully,
and
those,
he said, "Thank you."
Thankfully, those are some of my bigger concerns, like. You're bringing up a guy who was wrongfully convicted and spent 35 years in prison.
Yep.
What I have to deal with is the traffic outside of Homewood Suites, uh-huh. all the construction, dodging bullets left and right, dodging yeah. cement mixers.
Not actual bullets.
Yeah, not real bullets. Yeah. These are the bullets that I'm dodging in my life. Meanwhile, this guy has been in prison for 35
years.
Plus years.
Yeah.
No, it's terrible because going back to kind of the context of when these guys were convicted, it was when D.C. was the murder capital of the world,
mm-hmm.
and the prosecutors just wanted to take somebody down.
They just needed someone.
And yep. and
these they didn't the have guys, DNA testing
These were guys
then.
That were kind of in the area.
Right.
And so
the guy who actually killed the woman was James McMillan, who was in jail for another charge.
Right.
I don't know if it was another murder, but he's still in jail. But he was the one who actually, they found out later, he was the one who actually committed the murder.
And
but these six kids at the time, sick, they were 16 to 18 or 19, spent years in prison.
The crazy part, I mean, all of them who are wrongfully convicted, it's terrible. The crazy part about Chris is that he was one who had zero on his rap sheet.
Yeah,
he didn't have anything, and he was set to go to college.
Right. Yep, yep.
And instead, he ended up going. Well, some people do call that college, but he went there for a long time.
Yeah, so
wrongfully convicted.
If you get a chance, watch that Netflix doc. It's called The Eighth and H Crew, and
I think it was part of a larger series, though.
It was, but that was one of the. Yeah, it was. I can't remember what the overall the total series is called, but that's a great, great story.
You know, you were talking about
sad too.
Morgan Wooten, the sad news that he passes away. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Yesterday, they had the announcement on the Baseball Hall of Fame, and only two guys got in, Derek Jeter and Larry Walker,
mm-hmm.
who I think was up for the last time on the main ballot.
He was.
Took him 10 years. You need 75% of the vote. He received 76% of the vote.
Got
so Larry Walker gets in. He was a great outfielder, mostly for the Colorado Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
Some people discount the production from Colorado players because the offensive numbers are always greater than at every other park.
Right.
But he was a fantastic player. Once yep. was on Bother the Pro with the Junkies.
Yes, he was.
Former Junkies guest.
Yep.
I think maybe his brothers were on.
I think he's got brothers.
I can't
named,
even
like,
remember.
Gary, Barry, yeah. they all yeah. rhyme.
They did a wild bit naming the boys.
I think he's got three brothers, and it's like Gary, Barry, and
yeah, that's correct.
Jerry. I mean, I'm guessing on that, but they all sound alike, but
so Larry Walker gets in. And
I think it's he only had 55% of the vote last year.
Right.
He jumped 21% in 1 year. And if you look at the ballot, besides Jeter, who else are you going to put in? I mean, Schilling fell, you know, 5% short. He'll probably get in, if not next year, the year after. He's got two more years on the ballot. But there was no one else you were going to put in. I don't
know
if the Hall of Fame...
Unless you put in the steroids people.
Right.
Bonds, Clemens.
And they're still only around 60% in the voting. Yeah. But maybe the Hall of Fame doesn't like... The committee doesn't like putting only one guy in, so they gave Larry Walker the go-ahead, and he got in. It's pretty cool to watch the reaction of him when he got the call. He was wearing a SpongeBob SquarePants shirt.
Yes, he was.
He's always been kind of a
goofball. He's a little bit weird, but made me laugh.
I always liked Larry Walker. I thought he was a really good player. The problem is he was always hurt. He was never durable. He had 1 year where he played 150 games. That was the year he won the MVP in 1997. He hit 49 bombs that year. But a lot of people didn't think he was going to get in because he didn't play enough games, or he was playing in Colorado, or he didn't have the 400 homers. But he was a really, really good hitter.
Yeah, and then so Larry Walker makes it. And then Jeter makes it, but doesn't get the unanimous vote, which we've talked about for years and years.
It's kind of a joke.
So last year, Mariano Rivera got the unanimous vote.
I know, but it's stupid. Who doesn't vote for him?
It is stupid, but I mean, if that's the worst thing that's going to happen in Derek Jeter's amazing life.
It's just a stupid process. How about this? I'm just looking at the voting. All right. You know who got a vote to go in? Adam Dunn.
The big dog.
Here are the guys who got one vote to go in the Hall of Fame. J.J. Putz, Brad Penny, and Adam Dunn. And Raul Ibanez. They all got a vote to go in the Hall of Fame.
Hey,
and
somebody
Jeter,
loved all those
and someone
guys.
Didn't vote for Jeter.
Brad Penny Pasta got a vote?
Yes. It's right here. Got 0.3%.
What are his career numbers? Just humor me.
Penny?
You know what? I'm glad Jeter didn't get 100% of the vote. I'm just glad. You know why? Because it drives some people crazy.
Well, it's just dumb.
It drives people on Twitter absolutely crazy.
Well, hold on. It doesn't drive you crazy that Brad Penny got a vote?
No. You think I care that Brad Penny did
or
did not get a vote?
Baseball in general.
Do you think that affects my life?
The only thing you care about are season win totals.
I do care about
those.
We're
going to put some
of those.
Hey,
you better crank those up.
Right, give me Brad Penny's career numbers.
All right, hold on. Brad Penny's career numbers. All right.
Cakes, if Ovi was one
vote he'd be
short,
so bitter. He'd be so bitter.
Because I know he's... First of all, the Hockey Hall of Fame doesn't matter.
Well, no.
Second of all, it wouldn't... It doesn't affect my life whether a guy gets a Hall of Fame vote or not.
Well, not much affects your life.
It doesn't affect my sensibilities.
It doesn't affect mine either. It's just stupid. If you think about it, it's just dumb.
Well, it's nothing to get worked up over.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm not worked up. It's just a stupid process. All right, Brad Penny's career numbers.
What if he didn't
numbers.
Get into the Hall of Fame?
Ovi?
Yeah.
Well, then...
See,
then,
hypothetical. That wouldn't affect your life either.
It wouldn't affect my
but
life
it would
either.
Bother you.
Well, that would bother me because yeah. Then it tells me your Hall of Fame is a complete sham.
Well, that's the point. Similarly,
the voting is in this is a
sham.
Well,
that's fine.
Brad Penny, in 14 years, was 121 and 101 with a 4.3 ERA.
Oh, yeah, that screams Hall of Famer.
He's 20 games above 500. He's got a 4 ERA.
Yeah. So
I wonder why people like that get votes. I understand why... Jeter doesn't get a vote because there are some people that believe the tradition is nobody was getting unanimous votes until Mariano Rivera, like even Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, the greatest of all time didn't get unanimous votes. So they kind of want to continue that terrible tradition.
Yeah.
And then somebody becomes a stick in the mud and they're like, I'll whore him this year and vote for him next year. But I wonder why Brad Penny and Raul Ibanez and those guys get votes. Is it just people who are friends with them and they just want to... Throw them on the ballot?
I have no idea. I don't even know how many people are on the committee, the voting committee. I think there's just a ton. But anyway, Jeter and Walker get in the class of 2020.
The other thing which jumped out at me
and
was...
Schilling probably gets in, if not next year, the year after. He just needs 5%. So he probably needs like 10 votes.
The other thing which jumped out at me, and this is no big deal, completely inconsequential, but, and it was maybe a typo, that Drab in the email that he sent us spelled Roger Clemens' name with an O, which kind of tilted me.
It's fine.
Clemens.
It's a typo.
You realize, Rick, I'm writing that on like a notepad
said...
with no spell check or nothing. I was just blasting it out.
I just said inconsequential and probably a typo.
Who cares? Talk about not affecting your life.
I know, the things that bother some people.
Happy you read the email.
That's true. Because you probably were the one.
I read it last night.
Oh, you did. You responded.
Yeah.
You wanted Nokia.
Yeah. And I thought about, okay, we're having Barry Sanders on. I got to ask him to sign the jersey.
That's going to be a tough pull.
What?
because this is like
it's one of those 10-minute deals.
Do you have a problem with me asking? Or
no, but I don't even know the PR person, really.
Okay, well, like
I don't
think
the PR person knows Barry Sanders.
Like I said, the worst thing he can say is no. I'm going to say, hey, Barry.
Going to make it awkward.
I'm going to make it awkward.
Yeah, you've rehearsed this many times.
And you've probably never heard this before in an interview.
Yeah.
But I have jerseys. I collect jerseys. And, you know, Steve Young signed one for me.
You should say I
Alonzo
used to collect
Mourning.
Jerseys.
Well, I mean, I have these old jerseys. Yes. Clemens, I'd sign one for me. Would you sign your 1989 Oak State jersey? I have it in my closet.
What if he says no?
Then
life goes on. Yeah. By the way, I never want to get called on the carpet ever again for being embarrassing, because I remember distinctly when we did the Wizards training camp bit in Richmond,
mm-hmm.
where I pulled out one trading card for, I believe, to ask Caron Butler to sign. One in our entire career. And every other week, Jace is asking for somebody to sign a jersey when we have on for an interview.
Yeah, maybe it was because you did it in person, so you got grilled a little harder.
Mine was in person, I understand. But mine was a much more minor transgression.
You only get a certain amount of chances in life to
do this. I understand.
Jason, just a little advice.
Yeah.
I think what you would want to do, because I think it's one of those revolving door type deals with Barry Sanders, where he has like another hit in Akron.
Right.
Akron Morning Show.
Uh-huh.
You might want to try and end it maybe like a minute early.
Okay.
All right, and then tell them to stay on hold so you get the information.
Yeah, I just want to get the address or an email address or whatever.
Or you just lead off with it.
You guys,
first question. Hey, Barry, before we get going, I know this is going to be awkward, but I have your jersey, and I'd love a signature. Can we make that happen?
Because I want to frame it, and I want to put it in my basement.
All right, here's another wrinkle that's going to make it more difficult.
All right.
The plan is for him to be on the television, not on the phone. So there's no putting him on hold and talking to him.
Oh, it's good luck. Live on NBC Sports Washington.
It's a Skype.
All right, well, I'm still going to try.
Yeah. It never hurts to try.
Yeah.
Just ask for his phone number on air.
There's got to be a way to get in touch with Barry Sanders' people through
Google.
I'm
sure he has a foundation.
Yes, absolutely.
Which jerseys do you now have on your wall? The last time I was at your place, you had a lot on the floor.
Oh, yeah. I've got Steve Young.
Up on the wall or on the floor?
On the wall. These are on the wall. Steve Young, Alonzo Mourning. Roger Clemens, Cal Ripken.
Are these all signed?
All signed and framed. Brian Westbrook. I've got one more. Who am I spacing?
I feel like Westbrook doesn't fit amongst those greats.
It doesn't, but, you know, he's the Matha guy. And I'm missing one. Who else do I have?
Baseball player?
No.
Football player?
Might be Montana, but I'm
spacing. It's a big one.
But I want to add Sanders.
It's kind of hurting, though, that you've worn it probably 20 times in your life.
Yeah.
It has like a ketchup stain.
Yeah.
And it has your musk on it.
Yes, but it's going to look good in a frame.
I hope you got a framing guy, because that framing can get expensive.
Yeah, I do. I've got
it
a framing
get pricey.
Woman. I've got a framing woman. She's awesome.
Good.
Yeah,
very
we used
good.
To have a guy back
used
in the day.
A long time ago.
Used to have a jersey guy back in the day.
That's right.
You guys used to get all your jerseys from Rob.
Yep, that's right.
Yep.
All right, remember, coming up later in the show, we will talk some Caps hockey, we'll talk about the second half of the season, potential trade deadline moves. Alan May is going to join us coming up at 8:20. We got the head coach of the Wizards, Scott Brooks, at 9 o'clock, and Barry Sanders, as we mentioned, coming up later in the show at 9:40, all right here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. They've been our partner for years, and they've got the Big 20 going on right now. That's the countdown of the region's 20 most impactful sports stories from the past two decades, as determined by a panel of media members, former athletes, other experts, including John Paul Flame.
Apparently the bar for experts is pretty low.
New stories counting down to number one are revealed each weekday through February 13th on NBCSportsWashington.com/the Big 20. We're going to announce number 18 today. That's the Mystics winning the 2019 WNBA title. The Big 20 presented by McLean Mortgage, guiding you along the journey of home ownership.
For a team that goes to the WNBA Finals, they get swept in 2018 by the Seattle Storm. Going to go back again, and this time we're going to get it. 2019, they win it, Travis.
Everybody knows who's played ball, what the words run it back means. We're going back, and we're going at your neck, and we're going to win this time. They took that. They said, okay, we need to become a juggernaut.
Of course, led by Jason's girl, Lena Deladon.
That's right.
Oh, Jason's just pulling out wads of cash. What's going on?
No, I'm just putting that $10 bill that Cakes paid me into my wallet.
It's very important. Got to stack that cash.
Yeah, so you know what? D.C.'s become kind of title town in ways.
So props to the
Mystics. The last couple of years with the Caps, the Nats, the Mystics, mm-hmm. all with championship banners. Mm-hmm. So nice for the Washington Mystics. They're number 18.
So we're three down. We got 17 to go.
Yeah.
In the Big 20. Right, Cakesy?
That's correct.
Jay Gruden got a job.
Did he get hired?
Official?
I saw that he was talking.
I thought
with...
he was negotiating.
I thought he got offered the job.
I think he's been offered. I don't know that it was been has it been signed, sealed, and delivered. Well, look, either way, it looks like he's going to be the offensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
This is from the Washington Post. Jay Gruden will land with Jacksonville as offensive coordinator for Jags.
Yeah.
He's verbally accepted the job.
Got you.
Yep. Right. Jags to hire ex-Redskins coach Jay Gruden.
And we had heard Jacksonville was rumored to be one of the teams interested.
They're going to have to make a decision. I think the decision has been made, but do you give Nick Foles a shot to be back as your starter? You paid him a ton of money.
I don't know.
Or do you just go with Gardner Minshew?
I think if the salary cap ramifications aren't horrendous, I think you might just have to go with Minshew. Like, cut Foles, try to trade him, do something. The team responded better to Minshew than they did to Nick Foles. It just did.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter that Foles is making $18 or $19 million, whatever his crazy salary was, and Minshew was a sixth or seventh round pick. Minshew was better.
He was better.
He just was.
And in Minshew, for a guy who was he drafted really late, like sixth round, something
yeah,
like that?
Sixth or seventh yeah. rounder. I'll double check it.
Minshew.
I think it was sixth.
I mentioned this.
Fifth or sixth.
A yeah. few weeks ago at the end of the season. Was asked about his numbers and how they compare to Kyler Murray, who was the number one pick in this year's draft, rookie quarterback, and Daniel Jones, who was drafted in the first round, second quarterback drafted, mm-hmm. who put up some pretty good numbers. And he had kind of a chip on his shoulder, and he said, my numbers were better.
Minshew was the 178th pick in the sixth round in 2019.
Yeah, so he was drafted just ahead of Trace. I think Trace was the last quarterback picked.
Right.
But Minshew was right ahead of him. So, yeah, sixth-round pick. Foles signed a four-year, $88 million deal with the Jags.
Yeah, I was lowballing him by saying he's making 19 or 20.
Yeah. Now, he's got a potential out after this year. But I think that's his out. I don't think that's a team out. And I don't know what they're going to be able to do there. I mean, he's got a bunch of money still left on that deal. I don't know how you can get out of that.
The only thing that I worry about with this is, big surprise, fantasy ramifications. How does this impact like Leonard Fournette going forward? Because we saw how the Jay Gruden kind of bristled at Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
And Fournette he's more versatile than Adrian Peterson, but he's that same type of big kind of bruising power back type. Wonder how he's going to be utilized by Jay Gruden.
I'm curious, do you believe that Jay Gruden, who's been a head coach now in the NFL,
yep.
will return to the sidelines or be a booth guy? He strikes me as a booth guy.
I don't know. What did he do in Cincinnati?
Some
is he a booth
OCs
guy?
Are on the field.
I can't remember.
Don't know. I'm going to say because he's used to being on the field as the head guy, stays on the field.
But didn't Norv Turner return to the booth?
I can't remember.
I feel like yeah, Norv's always a booth guy as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Some guys like being down on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where he'll prefer. That's where I'm more curious. I know you're big on the fantasy of
you care where he sits or walks up and down the sideline.
It piques my curiosity a little bit.
Okay.
To see if Jay goes back to the booth, which to me, the guys who are in a booth, that screams, I'm just a coordinator for life. I'm not going to be a head coach.
Interesting.
And he became a head coach, and maybe he'll become a head coach again. I think that he's probably one of those guys that is just destined to be a coordinator the rest of his career. And that's fine. And I think he's good scheming offense. I don't think he's great scheming offense. I think he's good.
I just don't understand why the Jags are holding on to Doug Marrone. What are they doing?
I don't know.
They're going to give him one more run?
One more chance.
Okay. Good luck with that.
They like him. They like the guy.
By the way, somebody tweeted
us. Look how long it took Jerry Jones to fire Garrett.
Right.
Jason, somebody tweeted us at Junks Radio. The name of the show, which you were talking about, is called The Confession Tapes.
Confession Tapes,
that's the particular episode, which you're referencing, where a couple of our valets were featured, is Season 1, Episode 5 of The Confession Tapes.
Yeah, it's called The 8th and H Crew. It out.
I've forgotten to tip them in January. February 1 is really it's going to hurt me in the wallet.
I do 2 months at a time.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. The 2 month at a time.
So you give them $200?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's a bargain compared to what Donk Drab and everybody else that parks in this building is paying.
Yeah, what are they paying? $275
a month? $200+ a month.
Yeah, at least.
I don't know, man.
Parking in D.C. is expensive. It's pricey.
We talked about it recently. I drive by our old building probably not quite once a week, but definitely 3 times a month.
The old building in Lanham?
Lanham.
Yeah.
I drive by it right there on Route 50.
You mean Paradise?
Yes.
You mean an oasis?
I look at it, I'm like, that was free parking.
Right.
Free parking.
Closer.
The only thing that sucked about that particular spot is, for me, when we left sometimes, there was traffic. There's always traffic sometimes on the Beltway.
It's fine. Sometimes. But the left turn leaving that office complex always seemed like it was just treacherous. Because you basically had to cross 4 or 5 lanes of traffic. Because you had to cross 3 lanes of MLK coming this way. You're sitting here.
Yeah.
It's coming this way. And then you get across that, and then there's three more lanes coming this way. Kind of a hairy left turn.
Yeah, but at 10:15, there wasn't
a lot of traffic.
Not always.
The traffic
sometimes
on the Beltway, though, was always mind-boggling because I would get, you'd pop off of 50 and get onto that ramp, and then I was like, why is there traffic at 10:15, 10:30?
I'm never stunned by traffic anymore. Yeah. I just know that too many people live here. Too many people drive, obviously. And the infrastructure just can't support it. So there's always going to be traffic. As long as we live here, there will always be traffic.
You see that up close and personal right here around the building when we're trying to leave here at 10:15.
Of course you do.
I mean, it boggles my mind how much construction they're doing and how crowded it is on these 2 or 3 blocks, city blocks, every single morning.
The blocks are booming.
I don't know how I'm going to handle it when it's all done.
I know.
I'm not even going to recognize it.
Right.
I'm going to be able to get out of here like that.
So much hustle and bustle happening every day.
Hustle and bustle.
There's definitely a lot of it. Yeah. When we walk.
That's an old man cliche, but it's
okay. I understand. When we walk from here to the Homewood Suites, which is, by my math, 1 block.
Yeah.
It's 1 city block.
By the way, a little nitpicky thing. I've noticed that Jason's favorite food truck, which he called the Gracias food truck, the thank you food truck.
Yeah. What is it?
It's the Graciela.
What does that mean?
It's her name.
It's a name.
Oh, okay.
Like, the name's Grace.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't matter.
It looked like Gracias when I looked at it.
He's never going to order from them again.
It's the worst beef I've ever tasted.
It still smells fantastic.
He's just never going to patronize them again.
It was like a wood taco. Is what
but like I said, the upside of the hustle and bustle is there's a bunch of food trucks around.
Oh, yeah. They love it.
Especially if you walk down that way, there's one that's a steak and cheese one. Thale.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Right. Well, Graciela needs to pick her beef better because it was awful.
She needs a new supplier.
And she's stealing money.
All right. Phone number, if you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067. We're going to talk some Caps hockey on the show today with Alan May. That's at 8:20. Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards. That's at 9 o'clock. And we've got Barry Sanders, coming up at 9:40, all right here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.